It joys me to sing those songs with you. That make your heart rejoice a bit to be able to sing that and understand how good our God is. It joys me to be able to lift our voice in unison, not only in song, but also in prayer. Isn't it a wonderful opportunity to be able to do that, to know that we are all in unison when we lift up those words. Ryan wasn't just saying those words for himself. Those words are coming from all of us. And to be able to sing a song like, Lord, I can come before your throne because of the grace you have poured out on me and know that you can hear every word. In fact, you knew what we were going to say before we said it. What a good thing, right? So, good morning. I am joyous to be with you all here. I'm thankful to be able to praise God. We are continuing our study of 1 Timothy after taking a little break last week, and I highly encourage you to take a listen to last week's message online if you can on our website. Listen to the testimonies, listen to the message. They are very impactful, and I think we were reminded last week how impactful the Word of God and testimonies from people who have been shaped by the Word of God can be for people in our neighborhood. So I would just encourage you to do that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. We're getting into a section now where Paul is going to start talking about the leaders of the church again. That's who he means by elders in this passage. He's talking about the leaders of the church. I want to call us to remember that Paul has already called the church the household of God. In chapter 3, verse 15, he said the church is the household of God. It's the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. That's what the church is to be. We're to be a pillar of the truth. That means we are to hold up the truth for all to see. Not only that, he calls us a buttress of the truth. A buttress is a way to defend a fortress. That's why they build it there. So not only are we to uphold the truth, but we are to defend the truth as well. Here's the important thing for today. If the pillar is going to be healthy, if the church is going to be healthy, then the leadership needs to be healthy. So the leadership needs to be healthy. And this is why Timothy's there in the first place. If you remember, Paul sent Timothy saying, charge men not to teach any different doctrine. In fact, tell them to teach sound or healthy doctrine. Why? If the doctrine is healthy, the church will be healthy. If the doctrine is full of strength, the church will be full of strength. So that's what he's telling Timothy to do. That's why he's there. He's to charge certain persons. Now, let me tell you, this is a pretty weighty task for the leaders of the church. In our case, we have elders. We have four men who are elders at Covenant Community Church. And I think I can tell you with my brothers that this is a weighty task for us to be able to hold up that truth. And here's what we need. We need you all to support us as we try to lead this church. All churches, every church leader needs their people to be able to come along and support them and to help support the burden that they carry. That's what God's word has for us this morning. So, because I want to be humble as I approach this subject, because when you first look at it, this could be pretty self-serving for a man like myself. And I don't want that to happen. I want to be open and honest with you. I want to lay my heart before you in hopes that you also are willing to reveal your hearts to us. So let me pray for us to make sure that happens, and then we'll get going. Father, I am thankful to be able to come with my brothers and sisters and praise you this morning through song, through prayer, and through the preaching of your word, Lord. Father, would you help every single one of us in this room to have a humble heart to hear what your word has to say about your church that you have created to be a pillar and buttress of the truth. Lord, would you give us, myself especially, the words to say in this moment, and would you give us all eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to apply what you would have for us this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we look at verse 17, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching." This is how we know he's talking about the office of elder and not just the older gentlemen and gentlewomen in the church. He's speaking about the leaders, those who will be laboring in the preaching and teaching for the church. That's who we're talking about. So the first thing he says is this: let the elders who rule well be considered. Now, here's the thing. It says, let the elders who rule well. This means we need to consider our leaders. Are they doing this well? Right? Because before we can get to the rest of it, we have to understand this part of it. So here's what I want to do. I know Eric did this a couple months ago, but if you're like me, you forgot what he preached on a couple months ago. And he laid some responsibilities of the elders before you, of church leaders, and what they're supposed to do. I want to do that again. And I know when I've preached before, I've always said, I don't want to lay my weight or my conviction upon you. But this morning, that's going to change a little bit. I do want to lay the weight of the elder office upon you for a few minutes this morning, just so that you can better understand how to help your leaders carry this burden, how you can help support us. So let's look at these. First and foremost, to watch over and protect the church. That is what the leaders of the church are supposed to do. And we get a feel of this in Acts 20 when Paul calls the elders of the Ephesians to himself and he says this to them: pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So there's the first part of this. It's initiated by the Holy Spirit. The leaders of the church will be called by the Holy Spirit to be leaders of the church. It is a gift from God. God places them in this position. Right? So there's the initiation. Next is the purpose: to care for the church of God. Men who are in this position are to watch over and protect the church. That is a burden for many. Then he goes on. This is the extent of which they are to protect the church, which he obtained with his own blood. Jesus laid down his life for the church. So the calling of the leaders of the church is to watch over and protect the church to the extent of their lives. We are called to lay down our lives for the church if necessary. And Jesus has done that. Can you feel the weight of that? Can you feel the burden of that? Let me tell you, it's real. Paul knows this, so he goes on later in this conversation to say this: I commend you to God and the word of his grace, basically saying, I know you can't handle this weight. I know you can't handle this burden. Therefore, I commend you to God, because God can. Here's what he's telling this church: the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What Paul is saying is, you need to understand the importance of God's word. You need to understand the importance of the gospel, and you need to be in it as leaders of the church. You need to understand that it's there to give you strength and to build you up. Not only did you need to understand that for yourself, you need to understand that for your people, for your flock. You need to be bringing the word to them, which is the next responsibility. Leaders of the church are to teach God's word to the church. That's one of the major responsibilities of the church. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul wrote this: and he, meaning God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers — another way you could say that is the pastors of the church — what did he give them for? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. This happens through the use of the word of God. This is one of the qualifications for an elder that we looked at a couple months ago as well. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. And the one qualification that's in here: must be able to teach. Must be able to teach the word of God. Let the elders who rule well, our verse today, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Why? Because it's the word that builds up, not the men. The men are there to administer the word so that the word can build up the church and make them a pillar for upholding the truth. Another responsibility of the leadership of the church, to manage the affairs of the church. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Right? There's the responsibility. We are to care for God's church. Can I tell you, as a parent of four young children, how much of a burden this is? Because sometimes we feel like our kids have to be perfect, because we know the whole church is watching. So as a young leader in a church, I can tell you there's weight to this. I feel this weight. And unfortunately, I think I make my children feel this weight sometimes as well. And I would tell you the other men who stand up here and preach probably do the same thing and have wondered the same thing at one point in time in their life. It's weighty, these responsibilities. There's more. They are to care for the practical needs of the church. James 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Well, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Now, this doesn't sound too heavy at first until you get into the ministry and you realize this is a 24/7 thing. And I hope you all know that. I hope if there's ever a time of crisis, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone is on and it is sitting right next to me on my desk, make that phone call. I will pray for you. I will pray with tears. I will pray with joy. And I know my brothers will pray for you as well. Our lines are always open. And if we don't answer first, call again. And you may get me in sweats and a t-shirt. That's not the important part. The important part is you will get our prayer. And this is something the Lord has given the leadership of the church to do. That's a burden for us. The leadership of the church is also to set a healthy example for the church. Here's what this means. We are to put our lives on display, right? We are to meet the qualifications of the elder as set forward by Scripture. Leaders are to set themselves up and allow the church to see their life. We saw that in chapter 4, remember? Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persistentness, for by doing so, you will save both yourselves and your hearers. There's weight to that. There's weight to every church leader knowing that if I fail in any way, I don't only fail myself and God, I fail the church as well. He's seeking for perseverance here. He wants perseverance in the life of the leaders, and he wants perseverance for the church, that in the end, we will all be saved because we've persevered through it all. And then finally, the leadership of the church has a responsibility to give an account of their work to God. That has weight to it. Hebrews 13:7, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account." James 3:1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." 2 Corinthians, Paul felt the weight of this as well. Listen to Paul's heart as he's pouring out to this church. And apart from other things, he just talked about how he's been shipwrecked and flogged and beaten and stoned. And then he says this, "There's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. I feel the weight for all the churches that I've been a part of and that I've led and that I've taught the word. And then I'm seeing them divide and I feel anxiety for that because I want the pillar to be strong." God wants the pillar to be strong, to uphold the truth and defend the truth. Paul felt that weight. Now again, I never want to lay my weight on you, at least not my conviction, but I want you to feel the burden of these responsibilities. I think it's an important burden for us all to feel, especially for the message that we're preaching on today. In the end, elders will be responsible for how we have led you. So let the elders who rule well be considered. The elders who are living up to these responsibilities, who are carrying these responsibilities well, let them be considered. But let them be considered what? Worthy of double honor. Now, let me define honor again. We've done this a few times now, so hopefully if we repeat it enough, we're going to remember what this word means. In Greek, it means, the word used is tima, which means to give weight to or give value to, make important, prioritize. Just like we talked about with the widows a few weeks ago. We are to prioritize the ones who are truly needy. Same deal with our leaders, only double that. We are to double the priority of our leaders in our life. We are to respect them, and we are to give them weight and importance in our life. That's what the rest of today is going to be about. How is the church to do that? How is the church to support their leadership? How is the church to relieve the burden that these leaders feel? And throughout the rest of the passage, I think we're going to see four ways as a church that we can do this. Four ways that we can relieve the burden of our leaders. And this should be for every church. First thing, respect and submission. And those are dirty words in today's society. We do not like those words, but this is what God has called us to. Let me share some scripture to back that up. When Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, he says this, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." What Paul says here is, they're not there of their own will and of their own validity. They're there because the Lord has put them there. That's what he means by they are over you in the Lord, because the Spirit has called them into this office to rule over or manage over you. So you're not respecting the men because of who they are. You're respecting the men because of who God has made them to be. And to esteem them very highly in love. Why? Because of their work. Because of what God has put them to do. Because of the weight that they feel. Now listen, there's blessing with this for the entire church. Right here. Be at peace among yourselves. Now that's a command, but at the same time it's a blessing. Because if you're doing this, if you're respecting those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, you will be at peace. And may I say, we feel pretty at peace here in Covenant Community Church. We haven't had to deal with anything too major as of yet. That's a blessing that we can feel this amount of peace. So there's one way we can relieve the burden. Paul goes on to say this in 1 Corinthians. "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints." In other words, the church, right? "Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer, give recognition to such people." Why? Because you know the burden that they carry. To serve the church in this way is a weighty task. Listen, here's blessing in this as well. Look at this. Paul says, "I rejoice at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Icacus, because they have made up for your absence, for they refreshed my spirit as well as yours." Here's a great example of this. You know when Vince and Jill go and visit Jonathan and Lindsay, right? And they get to spend a week with them. I guarantee you Jonathan and Lindsay ask questions, "How is so-and-so doing at Covenant? And how are they doing? And how is John doing at Covenant? John Yates," right? Because they had a relationship with all those people. And when Vince and Jill get to tell them the successes, I guarantee you Jonathan and Lindsay are refreshed by that, knowing that a church that is supporting them and believers that they have a relationship with, they're refreshed by that. How refreshed are we when Vince and Jill come back and tell us how well Jonathan and Lindsay and the girls are doing? It takes good leadership for that, right? We're going to take Vince's word over somebody else's word who goes to Minnesota to visit with them, not just because he's dad, but also because he's a leader of the church. We know the burden that he carries, and we know that he's going to tell us the truth about how Jonathan and Lindsay are doing. We'll be refreshed by that. There's blessing in this. Hebrews 13:7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider, there's that word again, the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That's what submission looks like. It's not a dirty word. It's understanding the weight that the Lord has given the leaders of this church in order for you to imitate their way of life. Consider it and imitate it. He goes on in Hebrews to say, obey your leaders and submit to them. There it is again. For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. There's the weight again, right? Feel the weight of their task. Obey and submit. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. We'd be a surly group if our elders were pretty grumpy, wouldn't we? So there's blessing with this as well. Listen, if your leaders were grumpy, that would be of no advantage to you, which means the opposite is also true. If they get to do that job with joy, there's plenty of advantage for you. You know your leaders are going to love you well. So there's some ways that we can relieve the burden of our leaders. And then the writer goes on to say this after saying that, pray for us. For we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Pray for us. Pray for your leaders' perseverance to continue to desire to act in an honorable way, in a way that is worthy of the honor. Let those who rule well consider that and then pray for us. That's the next point. Prioritize prayer for the elders. Pray for your leaders constantly is what Paul is telling this church in Ephesus. It's what God is telling us today. Pray for the leaders of the church. Prioritize that. Make it happen. This all goes with the honor and respect part of this. James says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's one of my prayer requests from you all. First, pray for perseverance. For me, for my brothers, that we are able to continue to do this in a way that is honorable, and then ask for wisdom for us. And I'm not talking about an earthly wisdom, because earthly wisdom isn't enough. I'm talking about the wisdom that comes from God, which James goes on to define later in this letter. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Now, is that the leader you want making decisions for you? Or do you want the grumpy, groaning man? You want this man, right? You want these men. Paul said to his letter in the Ephesians, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So prayer here. And also for me, here's Paul's request, and it's my request as well, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth. And here's what Paul's saying here. I don't have the words apart from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, would you pray for my humility to rely on the word of God to come into my mouth and be spoken? And spoken in a way that is courageous. That's what he goes on to say. That my mouth may boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Pray for our perseverance. Pray for your leaders' wisdom. Pray for your leaders' humility. And pray for courage and boldness, because we don't have it on our own. We'll go on. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Compensation for full-timers. The church is to care for those who are working with the word, who are laboring with the word. And here's what Paul does here. He quotes two scripture, and I found this little nugget of truth amazing. The first one is Deuteronomy 25:4. He straight up just quotes that. But then he says this. He quotes from Luke 10:7, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, "For the laborer deserves his wages," in the middle of it. This means this letter is written somewhere around 64 through 67 AD. Jesus' words were already considered scripture by this church. I don't know if it was written then already, but the story has been told enough that they're able to quote it and say this. Here's what that does for us. It helps us look at the Old Testament in light of what Jesus taught, right? Paul puts these together so that we can understand, what does he mean by "you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain"? What does an ox have to do with leaders of the church? Well, here's what Jesus said. And at this point in time, what Jesus is doing is he's sending his disciples out two by two, and he's saying, don't take a coin purse with you, don't take an extra cloak, don't take a staff, you go. And if somebody invites you in and your peace is with them, remain in the same house eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. What Jesus is saying is, that's God's provision for you. Do not go from house to house. Wherever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Take what is given, because that is what the Lord is giving you. You have an opportunity to relieve the burden of full-time leaders of the church by giving them compensation so that they can labor in the word. Paul really helps us out here in 1 Corinthians. He says, do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law also say the same? Here's Deuteronomy 25:4. You shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned when he writes this? Does he not certainly speak for our sake? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope, and the thresher should thresh in hope of sharing in the crop, right? If you grow a crop, you expect to get some of the crop so that you can live, right? If you thresh out the grain, you expect to get some of the grain so that you can live, right? It's your daily wage. If men are laboring through the word, should they not also be treated the same? Should they not also be able to eat of some of the fruit and live? That's what Paul says. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you, so that we can continue to do our work? Later in 1 Corinthians 9, he says this, do you not know that those who are employed in the temple service get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the sacrificial offerings? Back to the Old Testament again. God set this up already. And if you really want to get into it, go to Numbers 8 and read the whole chapter, and it tells you how God is going to provide for the priest and all those who work in the temple and in the tabernacle. They didn't go out and work for it. They were to provide service at the temple, and the people would give them compensation. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. There's the teaching of Jesus again. The Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. Another way to say this, Galatians 6, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Now wait, there's blessing that comes with this too, right? I didn't forget that part. 2 Corinthians 9, by there, so ministers of the gospel, Paul is asking the church to give some money for some ministers who will be preaching and proclaiming the gospel. And he says that those ministers, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. You have no idea the burden that you have taken off my family because of the way you contribute for me. You don't just contribute for me, you contribute for my whole family. My wife stays at home and teaches our children, and she teaches them the word of God because you all supply this for me. And you are in every single one of my prayers. Every one of them. We are able to glorify God because of you. It's such a burden taken off of us. And we really felt that burden when I first took this position and the first shopping trip Steph had to take to Walmart. And you start thinking about everything you're putting into the cart, because what if somebody from church sees us in it, sees this in here? Is this glorifying to God what I'm getting? That's hard. We don't do that anymore. Okay. So if you see us in Walmart, feel free to stop by. Check out what's in the cart, all right? That's what you're supplying us. We fully understand that. We praise God for that. We lift you up in our prayers because we understand the only reason you're giving is because God has given you that desire to give so that I can be in the Word. I am the fisherman. Do you know that? I haven't once stepped foot in a seminary, unless you want to step into my office down in my basement and look at all the books that I have in the library I'm building. You've supplied that as well. God will use those who are foolish and make them wise. You have been a huge contribution to that. Don't let that get you comfortable. And I'm not saying to increase my salary. I'm saying give all that the Lord wants you to give. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So compensation for full-timers, and then finally, protect the integrity of all the elders. And that's what we see next. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. Now, Timothy has seen Paul do this. Paul's done this before, and we have an example of it in 2 Corinthians. Paul says to that church, "This is the third time I am coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. I warned those who sinned before and all the others, and I warn them now while absent, as I did when present on my second visit, that if I come again, I will not spare them." Why? Because the leadership of the church is important. If the church is going to be healthy, the leadership has to be healthy. So protect the integrity of all the elders. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. Why? Eric preached a couple weeks ago. There are going to be times when leaders of the church have to courageously love you. And it may hurt. It may sting. It may not feel good. It may not feel like the leaders are loving you. Sometimes that courageous love will be met with adversity. Sometimes somebody may not take that the right way. They may feel threatened by that and accuse wrongly. So what Paul is saying is, don't allow somebody to wrongly accuse a leader of the church. Their burden is already enough. But then he also throws this in here. As for those who persist in sin, so what seems to happen is, after there is a charge, validated by two or three witnesses, you are to approach that elder. You are to confront the sin in his life. You are to let him know about it. You are to ask him to repent of those, to turn from it. And there may be other disciplinary measures in there as well. You may ask to remove him from the leadership. And if he doesn't heed those warnings, rebuke them in the presence of all. Bring them forward. Why? Because we're serious about the truth. We're serious about teaching right doctrine. Here's another thing this does. This puts all the other elders on check. And Paul says this after writing that in 2 Corinthians. Remember, he said, "I will not spare you." He says this, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves? Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test." Elders, check yourself. Church members, check yourself. And then he goes on to finish and say this, "Your restoration is what we pray for." We don't want to make you leave. We want you to be restored to God. That's what's most important. "For this reason, I write these things while I'm away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority the Lord has given me, which is for building up and not for tearing down. Paul said, I don't want to tear you down. I want to build you up. That's what God has called me to. I want to make you a pillar and a buttress for the truth. It has to start with the leaders. They need to be held accountable, and they also need to be protected. So here's the list. First off, to help your leaders relieve the burden, consider the work of the elders. And we just had an excellent opportunity to do that with the elder assessments. Do you understand how much that helps us and actually relieves a burden from us? It helps us for you to tell us what you see as our strengths and weaknesses. It helps our strengths get better, and it also helps us make those weaknesses into strengths. It's important for you to turn those in. They are so beneficial for us. Plus, it's an excellent opportunity for you to consider the work of your leaders. Respect and submission. Prioritize prayer, perseverance, wisdom, humility, and boldness. Compensation for the full-timers, and protect the integrity of all the elders. I want to leave you with this thought again, because I didn't want to toot any horns this morning. I don't want to toot my horn. I don't want to toot Eric's or Marion's or Vince's. And I don't want to toot your horns, okay? But at the same time, I feel like we live a pretty peaceable time right now in this church, and that's a blessing. And I want us to continue doing this, because as a church, we are to be a pillar and a buttress. I want to leave you with this final thought from Paul, because this is my heart, and I know it's my brother's hearts toward you as well. Our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand, and I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us, that on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will boast of us, and we will boast of you. That's the prayer. Let me pray for us. Father, again, so thankful to have this time with you. Lord, thankful to be able to hear your word and what it would say to us. Lord, would you help us all as a pillar and buttress of the truth? Support one another to relieve one another's burdens, that the truth may be held high and seen for all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.